Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
So what can we learn from that session with Nathalie? Well, I learned loads, and I feel like I'm mining a deep vein of gold here. So I'm going to just pile into some of the top notes that I, for one, am going to be taking. The first thing that I took away is really about rupture and repair. Rupture and repair is very much the key to how we navigate these difficult days with people that have held very different opinions about things. And let us notice just how Nathalie did that. She called it old school, picking up the phone. Don't ever, ever, never, ever, never try and sort out difficult situations with bloody texts. It's not a human communication. No one sensible tries to resolve anything by text or by writing. You meet the person, you look at them, you share yourself, and you notice how they are. It's called human communication. I'm very big on this one. The second takeaway is notice how much she would take control of her responses and talk about dialing up or dialing down different bits. So when she was dealing with one member of her family, she knew that she would operate from a very much more forceful, what she called the driver kind of way. And yet with another member of her family, she'd dial up the nurturer side. And we're in control of our communication. You know, there's not much we're in control of in this world, but we are in control of our thoughts and how we communicate. And I thought Nathalie gave us a beautiful example of being in control of our responses. And she used that rather wonderful map of the four archetypes of Sage Levine: the visionary, the motivator, the truth teller, and the nurturer. And that covers an awful lot of our human behavior, doesn't it? So dialing up or dialing down the responses that are likely to get us the outcome we wish for. Think about the end of the communication. Do not just think about getting off on yourself. In fact, if anything, just get over yourself and think about what the end result of this communication could be. And what would you need to do in order to produce that end result? Begin with the end in mind is one of the famous sayings of Stephen Covey. Begin with the end in mind. When you're talking with someone, think about, is the way I'm talking and what I'm talking about likely to produce the outcome I want? Because very often, if we just want to prove our point, there's only one outcome to that, and that is rupture. And if that's where you're going, you're as guilty as the other person in that process, because it's a two-way process. Now, you might seek a different outcome, a more nurturing, a more healing outcome, and the other person may not budge, but that's not in your control. What is in your control, what is in our control, what is in my control, is what parts of me I'm going to dial up to produce the outcome I most wish for in this relationship. And then the third thing I'm going to take from this conversation with Nathalie is the beautifully clear and simple but really profound statement that not everyone is here for the same thing. And you might call this accepting of difference. The very thing that some of the most lunatic people in our society are crying out for to be accepted as different is the one thing they're not doing. Acceptance of difference means to simply recognize that we may have different views and different purposes and different journeys in life. Well, surely that is sanity to recognize that? After all, how deadly dull would it be if we were all trying to do the same thing and think the same way? And then I think the fourth takeaway for me from that conversation was the clarity with which Nathalie talked about releasing our emotions. it's just not good for us to suppress our emotions. And didn't she talk well about how we release our emotions? How some of us do it with words, some of us do it with a real heart-to-heart with a good buddy. Some of us just, you know, put on the boombox and sing as loudly as we can in the shower. I've got to get myself one of those waterproof speakers. I've got to get myself one of those, I can tell you. I love to sing in the shower. But she talked about playing music. She talked about writing letters. Any which way that you contact and acknowledge and allow the emotional feelings that you have to, as it were, not be carried ridiculously tightly in our nervous system, that is really good. And I love the simple way that Natalie put that, just don't suppress the emotions. Now, there is another side to that, which is, you know, just getting your emotions out, no matter what the impact it has on other people. That's not very good humanity, and it's not very good communication. So we always have to think about how do we release this emotion? And generally, it's better to find a way to release these emotions that's not at someone. I mean, by all means, release emotions with someone who's not the target of those emotions. But to just dump your emotional stuff on other people is, well, it's one of the big problems that's going on at the moment, isn't it? People are feeling distressed and angry and they're shouting at each other. That's not good humanity. It's not a good idea. It's not going to produce the outcome that you probably want. So give yourself plenty of opportunity to release emotion and discharge tension. Actually, I wrote a whole book about that. I don't know how Natalie got to say it so simply. But my book, Touching Trauma, Building Resilience, is all about how we discharge the energy of stress and trauma that we accumulate largely by suppression. So that's a really important one to take away. Another takeaway of mine, I think I'm on number five, is something I deeply and profoundly agree with, which is that we're all here to grow. And if we meet life with that philosophy, then we're likely to make the most of it rather than play the victim or, you know, get ourselves in tied up in knots. Natalie used the rather lovely image, didn't she, of, well, life is really like a sushi train of opportunity. And we might not want every dish, but, you know, that's what's coming along. And we're all here to grow. I thought that was a really beautiful and very healthy philosophy of life. It's one I subscribe to myself. And finally, the sixth takeaway for me was how Natalie used the word inner stand instead of understand. There's been a lot of talk about don't stand under anyone, don't understand anyone. There is a legal shenanigan going on with that very phrase, I understand. Try and avoid that word, I think. But Natalie, and I know it's an important word and I use it far too much myself, but standing under something is not a good idea, but inner standing, understanding the inner, well, I've used it again, haven't I? Understanding the inner state of someone. And above all, using our awareness to understand our own state. So our own awareness becomes one of the greatest weapons we can use in these difficult days that we're having to navigate. But not just about yourself. Inner stand the people around you. Seek to understand. I've done it again. Seek to inner stand what is going on for that person. It's very important to get out of ourselves and into what makes another person tick. And that was really part of our conversation at the end, really, was to say, these conversations, you know, what does make you tick? What gets you out of bed in the morning? And finding whatever way we can to reach across the chasm and find out just what makes each other tick. Well, isn't that the purpose of this program? I hope you're loving it as much as I am. So in terms of this inner standing, I've got a couple of tips. First of all, how we understand someone else is really based on understanding what we call their frame of reference. And think about that, their frame of reference. Well, how to understand someone's frame of reference is really to think about how do they see the world? And in my approach to psychotherapy, we talk about each of us having a life script, almost like a play, a script of a play that we're reading. And what it means is we filter out anything that does not fit with our life script. And these life scripts are written very early on when we're very young. So we kind of have our frame of reference is decided by the things we do see and the things we don't see. And so it might be strange to think of people not seeing everything, but one of the greatest keys to success in life is to be able to see quite a lot. But if our script or our frame of reference means we don't see a great deal, well, then that's when life starts to have problems. And to understand another person, we really need to understand their frame of reference. And one of the ways I like to picture this is imagine that we're all wearing glasses and our script allows us to only see certain colors. Imagine these are like glasses that have filters in and we only see certain colors. So it might be that my script says I only see blue and green. Well, that means anything that's red or other colors just doesn't enter onto my radar. The scientists call it the reticular activating system, the RAS. But it just means that we're not switched on. A good example of this is, you know, when we're particularly obsessed about something, like we're having a baby and we're looking at prams or we're about to buy a car or a camper van, all we see around us are the things that we're looking for. So we're alerted to these things. Well, script and frame of reference works like that. So imagine that everyone is wearing a pair of glasses and each pair of glasses allows some things in and some things not in. So when we're trying to understand someone else, what we're really talking about is understanding their frame of reference or understanding their frame of reference. So starting to notice what people prioritize and what they find important. Now, right at the beginning of Real People, I actually talked about something that I write about in my book, Touching Trauma, Building Resilience, because I describe my work as a body worker and how for about 12 to 15 years, I didn't have any theories at all. I just listened to my clients. And after every bodywork session, I asked them to walk around the table at the end of the session and tell me what they noticed, what felt different from when they arrived. And over this 12, 15 years, thousands of walks, I realized that people were talking in five different ways. Now, this is a great way to learn how to relate to someone. Because actually, and no one else has written about this, so I found that people talked in one of five different languages. Sometimes people talk more than one, but primarily we each tend to preference one of these languages. I gave it the acronym PEEMS, P-E-E-M-S. And the P stands for physical. People speak in a physical language. The E stands for energy. Some people talk in the language of energy. The second E is emotion. A lot of people will talk a great deal about how they feel. And the M is for mind. So a lot of people will talk around concepts and ideas. And the S is for spiritual. And some people talk a great deal about spiritual matters. And what you need to make sense of here is that if you meet someone and they talk in that largely, say, the physical realm, and you talk primarily in one of the other realms, it ain't going to go too well. You're certainly not going to learn what their frame of reference is. So even before we find out what their frame of reference is, we actually need to think about what does this person like to focus on? And we're talking about, is it the physical, down-to-earth things type of person? Is it the person that talks in terms of energy all the time? Is it the person that talks about their emotions? Is it the person that loves to explore ideas? Or is it the person that loves to talk in terms of philosophy or spiritual matters? And if you simply communicate with them at their level of PEEMS, then you've got an open door. It's a gateway into their house. It's a gateway into their frame of reference. I don't quite understand why no one else has noticed this, but I guess I started with no preconceptions. I just wanted to know how people felt at the end of their massage. And over the years, thousands of walks, this is what I realized. And this is a major way for us to understand. I write a lot more about this in my book. I write about how I discovered it. I give examples of each of the different five PEMS. And I talk about how important it is, if we're going to communicate with each other, that we at least begin by speaking the same bloody language. You will not understand someone who speaks Italian if you speak Russian to them. It's not possible. And actually, every human being preferences one or more of these five. And in truth, the people that are really successful in life can move between all five of those languages. Guess what? That means they can communicate well with others. Guess what? That means they can get on well with others. Guess what? That means they can get on in their lives. So there's a little tip for you to finish off and round off our reflections today. Well, that's me reflecting on that wonderful session with a remarkable woman, Natalie Cutler-Walsh. And let's get her back in. Let's get her back in and let's hear some of her top seven tracks of music and what meaning they have for her. And after that, there's going to be a mailbag. So do stay tuned if you want to hear all the fascinating things that listeners are writing in. It might even be one of yours. So let's get ourselves into the groove for the next phase of this show, the third phase, which is my music with meaning. Well, it won't be my music with meaning. It'll be Natalie's music with meaning. Here we go.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you. So connect with us today.